The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca from Massachusetts, and I listen to Mike, Michelle, and Chris Eliopoulos on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 410 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show, back from her three-year vacation in Orlando, is Michelle Scribner-McLean, back in New Hampshire. Hello, Michelle. Welcome home.
Not just in Orlando. Vero Beach, too. Vero Beach.
Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
It was really good.
Jacksonville.
Yep, back to reality.
St. Augustino.
Back to reality.
Reality.
Good times.
Yep.
So
putting you to work tonight.
Yeah. But I don't go back to school for another week or so. So I have some time to maybe write a syllabus or two, which I should have done over vacation, but did not. So should I do my shout out now, or should we introduce our extensive cast of characters?
Do your shout out now.
All right. So here are just some folks who are doing some training, who mentioned it on the Mickey Miles Podcast page. I want to mention first the people who, I love it when people post pictures. Frank Cass is getting back after the summer. He posted his GPS thing. Amy Jo Perego Shepherd did her first sprint triathlon. So she posted a picture of herself. Congratulations. Mark Millitz said that he's getting ready for the Disneyland Paris 5K and a half. And let's see. Beryl Arnold did 8 miles. She's getting ready for the Maui half marathon.
Awesome.
Ugh, does that sound great, huh? So those are some of our friends who are at their training.
And we have another friend to introduce.
We do. He's a friendly friend.
He's a very, very busy man.
Yeah.
Very, very busy. He's more...
Yeah, we're recording this at 3 o'clock in the morning to accommodate his schedule.
Michelle, guess how busy he is.
How busy is he?
He's busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
That's PC. Okay, go ahead.
Chris Eliopoulos. Welcome, Chris. Give us a song.
Thanks, Mike. By the famous tag team, Whoomp, There It Is.
Whoomp, There It Is.
That's Mike's favorite.
Yeah, I have to say something.
Right after Neil Diamond.
That our friend Dave Allen thought that you should learn more about Hanson. Dave, who's been on the show many times.
Mike should learn, or me?
Yeah, no. Mike should learn more about Hanson.
Oh,
he posted a link for Mike to look at. So anyway, I have the shout out. Chris has the song, and you know, when I was running today and I said to myself, self. Because I get my best podcast ideas when I'm running.
Oh,
I thought, what can we have Mike do? And it occurred to me that Mike could just do a little Disney, either Disney or Disney touring or Run Disney tip every week. Just a really short tip that would help people either plan their Run Disney experience or their Disney trip.
And everyone's wondering, well, Mike would run out.
And Chris, don't you think that's a good idea?
I like it.
Yeah.
I want to hear a Mike tip.
All right.
Mike's tip
go
for
ahead.
The day.
And Mike would run out, but
Mike's
no.
Mike's terrific tip for the day.
Mike's been doing this for 41 years, so he's got a whole bunch of maybe useless
Mike liked the idea, too.
Yeah, that's
all
good.
Right.
So I thought about a tip, and this is for those people who are, who go to Walt Disney World, not necessarily Disneyland, although you could probably say Disneyland, but definitely who go to Orlando and who like to rent a car. And one of the things that I have found over the years is that car companies are kind of crazy these days. And many years ago, the earlier you secured a reservation for a car rental, the better off you were. But not so over the last 5 to 10 years. And what I have found is that the best deals are starting around 10 days before your before your vacation. But what you want to do is you want to keep checking. So my suggestion to everyone out there who uses rental cars when they go to Walt Disney World is secure a reservation 10 days out and then check it every single day. I did it, and I saved $80 over the course of 7 days. So I just want to pass that on, and also try all the car clubs, everything you can. So that's my tip for the day.
All right. I don't think they're going to be short tips, but we'll...
so much for the 30-second tips.
It's a good tip.
So what are we doing?
It's a good tip. You helped me get my rental car for my very long vacation.
Yeah, we could talk about
it. Yeah. Okay. So what are we doing today?
We are continuing with our discussion of Backstage Magic as we tell Chris and our listeners more about what we saw, what we heard, what we learned, and what we'd like to share with everyone.
Yeah, Chris might have some questions, too.
I'm hoping he does. Yeah.
We get him interested, so, although it costs his family like $1,000 to get on this.
Yeah.
So we talked about the American Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to talk about today, to start off with, is something that Michelle's going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to talk about... we may get these slightly out of order, but as I said, we're on a luxury bus, I guess you could,
Disney Cruise Line bus.
Yeah, very nice. And the next place we went was not high on my list, I would have to say, of places that I thought of all the places I'd like to go backstage, this would be it. And we were told that they just recently reintroduced this place onto the Backstage Magic, and it was fascinating, and I ended up really, really enjoying it. It was the Disney Laundry. They have...
Hold on. I literally said to my wife and I were talking about it, and I said, we discussed this stuff, and now we're going to talk about, like, the laundry. And she's... Because I had asked, would you want to do this? And she goes, well, what's the next subject? And I said, we're going to the laundry. She's like, you know what? I don't need to know how they do the laundry.
It was
but
so
you
cool.
Make it sound like it's fascinating.
It really was cool. So the analogy that the tour guide used was it's kind of like the doors in Monsters, Inc. that are flying all over the roof.
Right.
The laundry, I won't get into the whole thing, but the laundry actually comes in on into these blue kind of bags that open at the bottom, and they fly in from, I don't know how they get to the top. Maybe they're, because we were kind of on the second floor when we came into the laundry, but they go up to the the second or third floor area in these blue bags, and they open from the bottom, and just lots and lots of laundry gets dumped out. There are people there sorting the laundry, but from there they get after they get sorted, they get laundered in, of course, these industrial strength washers and dryers. And then the part that I thought was really, really cool is they get put into these automatic folding things that we could see. So we could, how all the towels when you go to a Disney resort look like they're folded exactly the same? That's right. Because they're done with this really cool machine that kind of blows air up from the bottom, kind of lifts it up and kind of folds it. And
so wait, can we just step back 1 second?
Sure.
So this is laundry that is from resorts?
Right. So it's resorts and pools. So we were in, there's a separate, we were in the largest facility. There's a separate facility for the deluxe resorts, which are the higher thread counts and the nicer towels, and then different facilities for the other resorts. So
all the towels that we get in our rooms don't get cleaned in the hotel. They get shipped out.
They get shipped out, yep.
Okay.
And when they're in the blue bags, when the laundry's in the blue bags, that's dirty laundry. And then after they come out of the industrial dryer, they get moved over to the white bags, which is the clean laundry. And it's just like going into, I've been to Ben and Jerry's and I've been to Stonyfield Farm Yogurt. It's really, you're looking at all sorts of cool machines that do really, really neat things. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating was the tour guy told us that they work really hard in that department to keep people. They do a lot of incentives and they do a lot of things to make their employees happy, because you might imagine that, you know, folding laundry or doing working in the laundry facility may not seem like it's that appealing a thing to do, but it actually has one of the lowest turnover rates in all of the departments at Walt Disney World. Hmm. It's just fascinating. And she said that people try to get their families to come and work there. So it's just all, you get to kind of, there's a walkway, you get to kind of look at all these different machines that do the cleaning and the folding and we could see kind of the, you might have noticed them if you stayed in a Disney resort before, the green kind of rolling carts that have all the laundry. After the laundry is all cleaned up, they get put onto those carts and they're wrapped with a machine with plastic wrap, yep, to keep everything clean. So, and another thing that I thought was really cool is that when they reintroduced the stop onto the tour, the laundry facility people were so excited that they actually created a little, it's really your one and only photo app up on the whole trip. You're not allowed to take your cameras out at all. And they have a little thing where you can climb up and look like you're in a laundry bag and they take your picture. So it's
wow.
It's kind of
they're
cute.
Excited about their job.
Yeah,
though,
right? Oh, they really are. It was really, really interesting. It's very warm in there. Mike, did you want to add anything?
Wow, you did a great job. You pretty much said anything. One of the things we noticed is that it's one of the largest buildings on the resort. It's just huge. And they built a walkway for the tour to walk and take a look at everything. And like Michelle said, it almost looks like Monsters, Inc., the way that they have these large blue bags, going around the building, and they you know, poke them, and all the dirty laundry comes out. So when you're walking in the resorts and you're walking along the hallways, you see these blue things. That's where all the dirty laundry goes, or green, or whatever they're called, or teal. And then they do sort everything by hand. So the pillowcases, the sheets, you know, it's just the towels, whatever, and it's just amazing. There was a stat that Janessa said, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but if you did so many loads of laundry every day of the year, you would not equal 1/10 of what they do in one day there, or something like that. So it was just
another stat that I thought was interesting. Chris, how long do you think it takes from beginning to end, from when the dirty laundry comes in to when it's all folded and ready to go out again?
Oh, God, it's got to be probably a day, right?
It's 1 hour.
Get out.
Yeah, so like if you were to follow a towel on its merry journey, it's 1 hour. So
what's interesting is there was an effort for a couple of years. If you went into your hotel room, they had pieces of paper, like little notes
saying,
please conserve your towels. If you're not going to, if you don't want to, if you want to reuse them, please don't put them on the floor, hang them up. They seem to have stopped doing that, but did they give you kind of any information as to, is it just because of the volume, or is it just, are they using special chemicals? Is it just conservative stuff?
You know, that's why you have to go on this tour. I didn't ask that question, but I was Hermione Granger, but I did not ask that question.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting, just by the volume you're saying that's going through there, it has to be sort of to save. I mean, the amount of chemicals, the amount of water that's being used to clean that much stuff in a day.
It was one of the things that Janessa told us, is that most of the places that we were going, most cast members will never see. And this is one of those places, you know, aside from the people, of course, who work there. But it was fascinating. I just was like, wow, laundry, cool.
So,
and I never, for the rest of my trip, I never looked at the laundry the same way. Like every time I used a towel, I'm like, I know how this was folded. So
They launder somewhere between 285 and, that may be more now, Michelle, 285,000 pounds of laundry a day.
Jeez.
Let me see what else. One of the things that we wanted to mention is that they all take a break at the same time.
Yeah, and the whole place shuts down.
Because you think it's like an assembly station. Chris, I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge building. It's like an airplane hangar. And, you know, you've got dirty laundry coming in, and it's being sorted, and it's putting in the wash, and it's coming out of the dryer, and then it's being folded, and then it has to be stacked by hand. Then they got to take them out, and they got to put them in the area where they're going to shrink wrap. So everybody's going to be on lunch at the same time. Everybody's going to be on break at the same
time.
Everybody
goes to to break at 10:15. They shut the whole place down.
Or things back up.
Yeah.
So they have to do that. That was one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing I think we want to mention, Michelle, is we talked about the rules for the tour and how we were asked to do certain things, and there were a couple of people who did not follow the rules on the facility.
Uh-oh. There's always like one in the crowd.
Yeah. One person, I think, tried to take pictures.
We're not supposed to take pictures, and there were some people who were taking photos of the laundry facility.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Of all things.
Or trying to.
I think they
So they tackled them and broke the camera.
We talked about the turnover, and we talked about how sometimes it's a family thing. Hey, yeah, my grandfather worked in the facility.
I thought of you, Chris, because they have a special logo just for that facility. They have like a Mickey, kind of like a profile of Mickey that's done in bubbles, but they have the other characters too. You can kind of see them around at the facility.
And the other question I asked Chris is that, so we're looking at this huge facility, and so I asked our tour guide, I said, so what resorts are being done here? And she said, we have two facilities.
Four
facilities?
Yep.
Half of them do deluxe resorts, and the other half do everything else. So that tells me that there's not much of a thread count difference between, let's say, the value and the moderate, I think. So that was an interesting thing, I thought.
So tell Audra that.
Okay.
Have her listen to this.
I know. It's a thing.
We walked out and we're like, wow, that was really interesting. So
you thought you were going to be bored for it. How long did you
stay there? I didn't. About 20 minutes.
At least 20, maybe 30.
Yeah. I didn't think, you know, I've been to kind of those type of assembly line things before, but yeah, everybody's really friendly. But next was costuming. Mike, why don't you take that one on?
Pronounced costuming. And this is one of those facilities. There used to be one when you would go on the back lot tour in the studios, but that's been moved to this area. There are small satellite costuming places in all the parks, obviously, to take care of any emergencies with any of the
Was at American or an Epcot for any of the animatronics. There's like animatronic costuming in Epcot. Wow. Yeah.
So when we go in there, there was a receptionist, and our tour guide said, we're here to do the backstage tour. So the receptionist said, attention, everyone.
She did an announcement for the whole building.
We will be having a tour. And the reason for that is maybe there was stuff that we weren't supposed to see that they had to.
People were cursing.
Aside.
Oh, and the guide said it's because sometimes people are doing fittings and they don't want a whole tour group walking in on Belle getting fitted for her gown.
Exactly. So this was an interesting tour. I had been in this building before, and it was really interesting to see how they changed a lot of the things. As you're walking through, they have all types of artifacts and photos that are hanging on the walls. And you can see pieces of costumes and drawings, artwork. You would have been very interested in this, Chris. Mm. They took us up and down the facility. There, we walked by where they do embroidery, and there was one wall where they had, I don't know, practically every single patch for every single Disney resort in the world. They make all the patches, and they have this machine that does all that. So somebody does the artwork, and then the machine somehow it scans it, and then boom, it does it. It was really interesting. And we also saw some costumes, Michelle, that nobody else will see for almost a year, right?
Yeah, we saw the Rivers of Light, which is the new show at the Animal Kingdom.
Right.
And we were told it's probably going to be sometime in 2017. But we could actually look up close to see the costumes are done. They're on target, but some of the other aspects of the whole show are not on target. And one of the things, Chris, that they have is they had like embroidered peacock feathers, and they're kind of embroidered. Huh? Yeah, they have some like metal pieces on some of the other ones, but the peacock pieces were too heavy for the cast member to wear. So they actually created a way to kind of take a picture of them, and the photograph is actually woven into the costume.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, there's a whole CAD system, the whole CAD department. There must have been 40 people in the CAD department. They were doing designing. And then we got to see kind of how everything kind of plays out. And there was a big, I don't know much about CAD, but there's a, in the area where they do the sewing, there's a gigantic fabric printer. And when I say gigantic, it was probably 20 feet across, 30 feet long, and the CAD templates get fed into that, and then it gets printed on top of the fabric, and somebody was cutting them out, and then it goes over to be sewn together. So,
and when the fabric is on this flat surface, there are vacuums that suck the fabric.
It's kind of like an air hockey. Flat.
Yeah, it's like air hockey, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. No, air hockey, like regular, like the it's pushing it. Oh, it sucks it down. You're right. Yeah. So we got to see, you know, there are lots of costumes hanging up. There are people doing everything from beginning to end.
Now, when you say costumes, is it also like just like what employees wear at the hotel?
Exactly. And, yeah, everything. Okay. From Voices of Liberty to...
Belle,
I would assume the fur costumes, although I didn't see any
some of the things
fur
that
costume
Mickey and
things.
Wear, yeah.
And the embroidery, really everything. And we're walking through, and this tour comes through every day. People are just, it's like we're invisible. I mean, people, we're very friendly, but they're just, you know, they didn't stop and wave. Everybody's just very, very busy there. Sure. And so they have theming there too, which is all around Cinderella's mice. So the different areas are have these signs that have little pictures of the Cinderella.
So the seamstresses in that area are responsible for the costumes for the mice, and that and it was.
Oh no! I meant the theming on top,
yeah,
like
it's
the little
like
sign.
The seamstress,
yeah.
Like
oh,
they're
that,
making.
Yeah, yeah. They have this the.
Oh, that. Yeah. But they also had that, too. It seemed like they were grouped as, okay, this is for the princesses. This is
yeah,
the...
So one of the things they said about the sewing, which I thought was really interesting, is that unlike, I guess, other places, I don't know anything about costuming, where somebody might do one piece and then pass it on to the next person, the people in who do the sewing actually are responsible for the costume from beginning to end, which makes it more interesting for them. So they yeah. can kind of take it from the beginning and take it to the end.
Is it mass production, or is it just like each costume is a one-off thing?
No, they do fittings for cast members when they come in there. So it's a one-by-one thing, my understanding of it. So, yeah. So that was really, really interesting, too. That was about another half an hour. And then we went to the prop shop. Mike, do you want to talk about that?
So the prop shop is a... area where they store a lot of unique pieces of, I guess you call them props, mm-hmm. that they use from time to time over the course of the year. And they're also used when someone wants to put together a party or put together a wedding or put together something special for some kind of an occasion. So as we're walking up and down the area, I mean, this thing's huge. Just, I mean, it's like a warehouse. It is a warehouse. And so you walk down this one aisle and you say, okay, let me see. I could use a couple of Haunted Mansion gates, or I could use a pirate ship, a half of a pirate ship, and I mean like full-blown pirate ship, or I could use some tombstones, or I could use a what looks to be a 2-ton jack-o'-lantern. Or thing. We actually were walking by, and they were getting a lot of the
not
Halloween,
so scary.
Yeah, we got a lot of the Halloween stuff was getting ready, but it was very interesting because there were archways. If you were going to have a wedding, it was just amazing. And some of the stuff had been around for a long, long time. I would say 30, 40 years, because they never know when they would use it, and they can repurpose a lot of the props. But that was very, very interesting.
They had little areas where you could go and kind of get an idea for some of the things that you could get for whatever party or celebration you were having. So there was like a Toy Story area. So there were things that were themed to Andy's room or the toys. And then kind of like a horse doll type of shape, you know, size. And then the next one was pirates. And then the next one was, you know, Haunted Mansion type of thing. But one of the things that I found was very interesting is they found a way to kind of keep tabs on what's going in and what's going out. And they just have a barcode system. So they, you know, if you want to borrow a pumpkin, it's scanned in and scanned out. If you want to borrow elements of, you know, an English garden, they had kind of pictures of what it might look like. And then
you steals them, huh?
Right. So well, just kind of keep track of everything. And they did say that some of these things had been around for years and years and years. So I just thought it was very, very interesting. You could really kind of just walk up and down and find some really cool things.
So you could take a large room. And I'm guessing, Michelle, one of the things I never thought of, and I just thought of it, is that if they're putting together a new attraction or whatever, they could go there and say, you know, we need something for this attraction.
Right, right.
Bang, let's use one of these things.
We talked to our friend Karen, who works for Disney Weddings, and she's been there many times. You know, people, use your imagination. People want their wedding theme to, and, you know, it's not always traditional, here comes the bride, you know, white dress type of thing. There are people who want an Alice in Wonderland themed wedding. There are people who want pirate themed wedding. So she's been in there many times with the bridal, you know, the bride and the groom trying to kind of...
Oh, they'll actually take the bride and groom in there to...
Yeah, they will take them in there. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me, I worked at the Museum of Science in Boston for years. There's a huge area that people never see that has a collection of, you know, animals and... Right. And artifacts and things like that, and the exhibits department will pull them out of there and put them on display when the need arises. And that's what it reminded me of. It's just, you know, we're not going to throw away this, you know, these 15 really cool pumpkins that we created. We're just going to put them in here, and then, you know, maybe somebody will use them.
They've got the room, right? I mean, they got the land and the property, so
right.
Does this include like the holiday? Decoration,
so,
stuff like
no,
that.
No, it wasn't.
This is just.
Yeah, Mike was kind of hoping, and I was too, that we were going to go to where they do the Christmas decorations, but it was not allowed. So one of the things that I asked, because, you know, I do know a cast member who works for Disney Weddings, can anybody come into this? You know, can you bring? Could a cast member friend bring somebody in here? And they said absolutely not. No members of the public can go backstage. And cast members just can't wander around either. They can't just say, hey, I want to go in the prop shop. You have to have a purpose for going. So, I mean, that would be worth getting a cast member job just to do that. Don't you agree?
Oh, man, I would go every day.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you guys, like, now they're taking you from bus to bus. So you get out of the laundry, you run onto the bus, they bus you over to the...
Yeah,
like, what's the distance? Is there a lot of land covered when you go from place to place?
No, at this point, we kind of went from American Adventure to behind Magic Kingdom, and that's where we spent a lot of our time.
So all this stuff is mostly behind Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think actually we're kind of doing this out of order. I want to say that after laundry, we went to costuming, and then we went to lunch.
So the laundry area... Chris, and this other area is basically, it's I would say it's behind the Magic Kingdom. It was more down the road from Fort Wilderness, remember, Michelle?
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, behind Disney Springs, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So the prop shop was across the street from another stop that we were going to make, but we're going to... Stop right here, and we will continue this on our next episode of Inside the Backstage Magic Tour. So for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road and backstage.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own. Bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.